Chai FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. David, 16 years since the world changed for you and I, not only the New Yorkers and not only Americans. 9/11 today. I cannot believe that it's actually 16 years. How did it change the world, aside from the fact that we can no longer carry, you know, bottled water and nail clippers and nail files on flights?
That, I think, in day-to-day terms, is the real way. The fact that, you know, there are many places around the world that have security guards at shopping malls and so on. All of that came, or most of that came post 9/11, of course. In the Israeli case, all of that had begun a year earlier with the suicide bombings and so on. But in terms of the international community, and obviously for Americans, those were the key things that people noticed. But I think more significant than the physical is the mental. We are different human beings to how we were pre-9/11. It changed. It flicked a switch. It made us all paranoid, but with good reason. You know, that there's sort of paranoia for no reason, but in this case, tragically, there is absolute reason for the paranoia.
So are we justified in our paranoia?
Yeah, 100%. Look, it doesn't mean that there's going to be bombs going off every 30 seconds, but there is a significant number of people in the world who were determined to derail our life. I'll give you an example on the psychological side of the type of impact. A few weeks ago, there was a video came out from Al-Qaeda saying that they were going to be targeting the American train system. Now, largely that didn't get much media, but I can tell you that the authorities in America took it very seriously. The TSA was in touch with the rail authorities and said, you've got to beef up security. That beefing up of security, which will have been noticed by members of the public, sends some sort of message, even if it's, you know, subconscious, subliminal, whatever, that something is wrong. The idea that you've got security, wandering around platforms, that you've got increased cameras, whatever form of surveillance it is, that you have to show a passport or a driver's license when you're purchasing a ticket as a result of a video warning coming from Al-Qaeda. That is the type of effect that this is having. And there may never, ever be an attack on the train system in America, but Al-Qaeda has already succeeded because it made the authorities spend millions in beefing up security. And as I said, even if it's only subliminal, all of us are that bit more paranoid.
Yeah. And, you can do whatever you can, but could the United States have ever prevented 9/11? Because I think that's a question that's still being asked. I mean, I was reading a report this morning, David, about the Saudi government apparently paid two citizens to pose as students in the United States and perform dry runs for 9/11. Yeah. And this was up to 2 years before.
Yeah, this pair boarded a plane in Phoenix, headed for DC, and they repeat. I think the airline was America West. They repeatedly went to the cockpit, claiming that they needed to go to the bathroom when they'd been told that the bathrooms were at the back of the plane. These are people who were studying in America. They spoke English. That wasn't the problem, and they kept trying to enter the cockpit of that plane. It's now believed that they were part of the plot. One of them was in regular contact with one of the pilots that actually carried out 9/11. They were in touch with Al-Qaeda leaders back in the Middle East. Does that mean it could have prevented? I don't believe so. I don't believe that we can ever hermetically close our borders to terrorism. And even if, you know, you find out about that type of plot, so another one comes along. You know, think about what happened in Nice, year and a half ago. 80-odd people, or more than that, I was at 100-odd people being killed and hundreds being wounded when a vehicle just plowed through all the people walking along the boardwalk, along the promenade in Nice. So even if you can stop the big terror plots, you know, you find out somebody's got a nuclear bomb or whatever it is, you know, straight out of the Hollywood movies, it doesn't mean you're going to stop all the others. And now, because of social media, the message is out. And anybody who's got an axe to grind can carry out a terror attack. And all of these people who now we're saying, they're not really terrorists, they're somebody who has had psychological problems or whatever. The very fact that those people, even if it's true that they are crazy, the fact that they are deciding to carry out attacks based on what ISIS says and does, and, you know, if they're shouting Allahu Akbar in the streets or if they're walking around with a massive sword and attacking people, they have been influenced by ISIS. So the terrorism is working. And whatever we do to stop the terrorism is never going to be enough, which is why at Clarion, all the time, we're pushing the idea not of countering violent extremism, but about countering non-violent extremism. We've got to go after the ideology. We've got to do the education at the lowest level possible. When kids are 3 and 4 years old around the world, we need to get to them. And on a positive note, there is a growing realization around the Muslim world that this is a very real problem, not necessarily because of the attacks on America, but also because of attacks against Muslims throughout the Middle East and beyond. And as a result, the governments of those countries are now beginning to put their foot down, trying to weed out the extremists and to just create a better society. And if you can do that, then maybe in 3, 4, 5 generations' time, we can say, no, there won't be another 9/11.
Which we really never can. David Harris, thank you very, very much for speaking to us this morning. We look forward to speaking to you next week. You have a good one.
Take care. Have a you too. Wonderful week.